Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Insulate your home and save on energy costs. Owens Corning Pink Foamular Insulation Panels are moisture-resistant and can be used anywhere, including walls, attics, and basements. Foamular Insulation Panels are available in multiple sizes to fit your project. Visit Menards.com to shop all foam board insulation. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for great deals happening this week. Save big.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what a makedown. Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I am Branham. It is Brian behind the glass, and it's a Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Blankers, did you get in on time? Were you there on, right as the poll ended?
Yes, I was okay. Here so an hour early today.
You didn't cause any sort of delay. Brian,
did you add any commercials?
Who did?
Paul did, to me.
Oh, he did?
Yes. He said
that's too bad.
Jeremy Booth was running late, and so therefore he got all scrambled and out of sorts, and so he apologized, which was nice.
What do you mean? Apologize for what?
But running late, because he was still cleaning up his stuff at 59.
What time does Booth do his segment?
Evidently, there was a miscommunication. He was supposed to start at 2. He got there about 2:20. So then they were playing catch, trying to get it all in.
So that's why he went off the air at 2:59?
I guess, yeah.
Huh. I thought Brian might have put a few more commercials in there. Brian, did you put more commercials in there?
I did not.
Oh, okay. So Booth, because he was late for his 2:15... is the reason we started at 3:02?
Quite possibly.
Huh. Okay.
But I appreciate the apology from Paul. It was all good.
All right. All right. If you tell me it's all good, then it's all good. Brian, is it all good with you?
It's good enough.
Good enough. Okay. All right. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Yeah. We'll go with that. We're teasing. Astros lose a baseball game yesterday. Offensive offense, Blankers. Are you getting scared yet about this offense?
You know, it's interesting because I was thinking about it watching the game, and Brian and I were talking about it going into the studio, like how depressing it is to look at the hits and the runs, and then you start seeing, everybody doing the comparisons on Twitter of, like, individuals that have better stats than the entire Astros team through 5 games. And it's like, when is the time to panic? Because, I thought going into it, it was just going to be, well, the last 3 guys in the lineup and Altuve and left were going to be the biggest questions. Maybe who plays second base on a regular basis. But when you look at it, and Granato actually, I think he was at the game last night, and he actually screen captured the lineup with their batting averages. And everyone was like at 100, 100, 143, and you're going, oh, my God. It's like, it's one thing if there's a guy or two that got off to a slow start like Alex Bregman used to do. But when you look at that lineup top to bottom, you're like, who the hell's actually hitting besides Altuve?
No one. That's the answer to your question. No one. No one's hitting outside of Jose Altuve. And the Astros are already 2 games back, guys. I don't know if whenever y'all start scoreboard watching, I don't know whenever y'all start paying attention to the standings. But I pay attention to the standings whenever the race starts. I watch the whole race. I don't just join the race whenever there's, a halfway to go. I don't join the race at the final furlong. No, I watch the race in its entirety. Astros are currently 2 back of the L.A. Angels and the Texas Rangers. So, look, oftentimes these division races, and we're expecting a tight division race this year, are determined by like a game or two. Mm-hmm. So all these games matter. Just because it's April, hey, chill out, it's April. It's 1 of 162, just like the final day of the regular season's 1 of 162. The Astros are also 2 out of the wild card. So if the season were to end today, they're not a playoff team. And that I pay attention to that sort of stuff.
Well, and the thing is, there's a couple things to me. One, we remember what happened last year when we started the season similarly, and we started talking on this show about the fact that, hey, everybody's going to go through some bumps in the road. There's going to be some lulls. You try to win series, but sometimes, you look at teams that have swept the Astros in the past in a 3-game series. The Giants have done it, and I think at least one time in the last couple of years since they started doing this with the interleague play when everybody plays everybody. But overall, you remember what happened last year. And you're like, this could also steamroll. Like, it doesn't happen all the time. But when one series starts turning into the consistent we've seen, which is completely inconsistent hitting and offensive run production. You're like, look, we've been there and done this a year ago where we're like, eh, don't worry about it. It's early. And then it becomes a little later. And then suddenly you're double-digit games under 500 and or behind in the division. And you're like, oh, no, now what? And luckily last year they pulled their heads out of their fannies and found a way to get back into it. But that's not going to happen. That's not the norm. That's not going to happen every year.
No. And look, I think that you need like a 15 to 20 game sample before you start like really digesting the numbers and really looking at any sort of race. But I am paying attention. Like, it is something, okay, this Astros offense isn't mustering many runs. It feels like they hit into more double plays than they put runners across the plate. Not an ideal situation to be in. And maybe they can get it going today. You know, they're playing at 6:05 today. Maybe they can get it going. You need to avoid the series sweep. Mm-hmm. And, like, you like the pitching matchup. Framber Valdez pitching for the Astros, this Roop guy pitching for San Francisco, so a no-namer, so the Astros will probably get one hit. But you like the pitching matchup. It was nice of Espada to put out the lineup so early for a 6:05 first pitch because you mentioned the Granado just looking at the starting nine, and not that average is everything, but, you know, you like those numbers to be higher rather than lower. Mm-hmm. The Astros go Altuve, 389. Paredes, 188. Yordan, 063. Walker, 150. Yiner, 071. Pena, 125. Rogers, 111. DeZinzo has as many hits as you and I. Chaz McCormick's actually hitting 500 mm-hmm. on the year, so McCormick gets the start in center field. So maybe, you know, a battle is emerging there, although it's going to be specific on who's pitching. They're going to play Jake whenever there's a fly ball pitcher out there. But that gives you an idea of where the Astros are offensively right now. And it's not exciting. It's not fun. Like, yes, it's too early to, like, you know, panic, or it's too early to, like, even, you know, register anything on this. But I'd rather them score runs than not score runs. And right now they're not scoring runs at a pretty high level.
Yeah, I look at it, and, you know, I was really excited for the start of baseball season. You know, you and I love to talk baseball, and we love the sport. And I was really fired up, and I sit there and I watch the games, and I'm like, this is bad, man. This is hard to get into. This is hard to believe. Like I said, the last game, when they went down five, and you're like, I don't think that there's any chance of them coming back. This one seems like it's already over with, and there's plenty of at-bats left in the game because they're not hitting the baseball. And, you know, as much as I thought that maybe one of the younger guys, DeCenzo or Smith, was the guy that was going to answer my plea to get another bat in the outfield, now, as much as I thought, well, there's options out there, depending on how creative you want to get with your outfield, as long as you know Altuve is one of them. But now you look at it and go, well, Cam Smith is not getting regular at-bats, so it's really hard to read him and what he could be and if he's going to be somebody this year. DeCenzo, you've seen less at-bats, so you really don't know what he is. Chaz, as you mentioned, might be your second-best hitter right now. I think Paredes is starting to kind of settle in. But does that mean that he's going to be in the lineup more frequently in both center and or right? But it's not a great scenario because even everybody's like, well, Christian Walker's hitting the ball hard. Well, we've had situations in the past where we're like, well, Jeremy Pena is not getting base hits, but he's hitting the ball hard. Well, at a certain point, those are still outs, and outs don't equate to good offensive numbers, and you wonder how long all this is going to last.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN. Texter say, I thought the game was at 3:05. Another texter says Astros game is actually a 3:10 start. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. Don't believe everything you hear on your favorite radio station. The game's at 6:05. Astros, Giants, game three of the series, getaway day, 6:05, first pitch. I don't know why Espada's lineup is already out. It's weird. What'd you make of Hayden Wisniewski's first start as a Houston Astro?
Under regular circumstances, it's good. I mean, I know that it's a big thing that, you know, all your starters have given you at least five innings. That's great. I thought it was okay. I thought that, you know, he showed, you know, early on that he could get some swings and misses and that he was, you know, effective. You know, the play in left, the play that gave up the two runs, you know, you can question about if it was fielded cleaner, would it have made a difference? I don't know. I would say it's okay. I mean, as your fifth starter, if you're getting three runs over five innings, you should be able to live with that, except for the fact that they're not hitting the baseball.
Yeah, three runs over five innings ain't great. I mean, that's a 5.40 ERA.
Right.
But I was encouraged with his stuff. I thought his stuff was pretty good. Only give up a couple of hits. I thought his biggest crime was in that multi-run inning there in the third inning. He walked the eight and the nine-hole guys. Like, I can live with a home run, man. Like, the other guy's on scholarship. The other guy's getting paid. I can live with Ramos hitting a home run against you. Like, that's going to happen. I get that. You can't walk 8 and 9 holes. I hate walks, period. I hate walks when it's the last two guys at the bottom of the order. So, like, I was encouraged with what I saw first time actually watching Wesneski pitch in a regular season game, Astro debut, you know, punched out 6 over 5 innings. I thought that, like, he was encouraging. Like, I think he's going to be fine at the Astros' bottom of the rotation. But, like, so big picture, I was pretty encouraged with what I saw from Wesneski. But looking at that game in a vacuum alone, you can't walk 8 and 9 hole hitters in Major League Baseball. Right. That cannot happen. If that happens, you're going to be the losing pitcher. You cannot do that.
No, and I think that I'm like you. I wanted to see what I hadn't seen yet. I wanted to see, you know, what's in his repertoire, how hard he throws. Is he capable of getting swing and miss? And those things were there. As a 5 starter with those things in his back pocket, you would think that as much as he gave up some runs, that that's going to translate to a guy that you, as the 5 starter, you can live with. But you've got to get some offense behind him. You've got to get some good defense behind him. And you know, it's got to be a work in progress that's going in the right direction. I think for his first start, it was fine. I don't expect that to be every time because I do believe that he has stuff effective enough to, you know, to give up less and probably give you more. But overall, it, you know, the storyline that keeps coming back is that, you know, no matter what you do as a starting pitcher, even if you lower that, I mean, if you've scored 9 runs total in 5 games, it doesn't matter how good your starting pitching gets short of a shutout, you're not going to win many of them.
6050 ESPN app says 310, buddy. Who you calling buddy pods?
Pal.
Another texter says ESPN shows 310 start time. What does ESPN know? They're idiots, especially with who they hire. The game is literally on, says texter. No, that's a repeat. That's yesterday's game. First pitch, 6:05 tonight, Game 3, Astros Giants. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We have a busy show. We'll talk about the game that's going on right now when it's over, which means tomorrow. Yordan Alvarez, what's his potential? Can he live up to it? Are the Astros better than they were a year ago? Brian, he's got things he wants to say at some point. Lots to get to today. 713-780-3776. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blanker's at Pac-Man Joel. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Whenever we come back, let's talk about that Altuve play in left field that you brought up. Mm-hmm. I have thoughts on it. You have thoughts on it. We all have thoughts on it. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for Allstate Siding and Windows. Look, stop looking all over Houston if you're looking for the best quality windows at affordable prices from a company that's reputable, that's been in business in Houston, Texas for almost 50 years. Do what I did and call Houston's expert window siding and door company, Allstate Siding and Windows. They are the best in the business. They replaced my old windows when we bought our new house, and I'm telling you, their ability to not only do exactly what I just said, be the experts, find you the right product, and match it up with your current house and what it looks like, the architecture, when it was built, etc. But the fact that they do it in such an easy-to-understand way and they walk you through all your different options is fantastic. It starts with a free estimate. They come to you and simply do what I just told you. They explain what they are capable of doing. From all the products and services they offer, and you can check them all out at allstatesidingandwindows.com, to the fact that they'll say, hey, your house was built in this year. With this architecture, the best windows that we suggest would be these. But please look at all the others and select what you'd like. The recommendations they made, we went with. Our windows look fantastic. They upgraded the overall appearance and curb appeal of the house. But the most important thing is they're going to save you a ton of money on your energy bills. They are going to make sure that in all the key weather systems that come through Houston, whether it's hurricane season or it's the hot, hot summers where they keep the cool in, or the cool winters where sometimes we get that below freezing temperature that it keeps the warmth in, the contents and the people in your house are going to be safe and secure, and the temperature is always going to be right. And your bills are going to come down because the windows and the siding do exactly what they tell you they're going to do. Right now, you can get that free estimate, too. All you got to do is call them, 832-204-1936. They'll come to you and tell you how they can help you. 832-204-1936, or check out the website, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Texas says the Astros game is on right now. Yeah, okay. How are you listening to us and watching the Astros game? These people.
Talented.
Didn't know Fromber pitched last night, too. It's the second start of the year tonight. He pitches. Maybe you're watching a replay of another game that happened earlier. Fromber probably gives up a two-run homer in the first inning today, too, huh? And you probably think that's going to happen. Branham, these fans don't know peak comedy. LOL. Clapping your hands like an overgrown child is big little man energy. LMAO. Why am I a big little man? I'm 5'9", 250, and I win long drive competitions in my free time. So it's a good way of describing me, actually. Big little man.
You didn't thank me for that, by the way.
What?
I mean, the fact that I didn't play in the tournament.
Well, you weren't invited.
Actually, you kind of did invite me early on.
We pulled the invitation.
Yeah, you pulled it.
So you're saying you would win the long drive. You're saying you would have outdriven Jeremy?
Oh, yeah.
There's no guarantee of that.
No, there's not. You're right.
If Blankers and I, of 18 holes, he would probably, not all holes are par fives or drivable. If you went just 10, drives on 10 particular holes, Blank would probably outdrive me 7-3, I would say.
Yeah, but look, when we brother-in-lawed well the last time we played, the only time we played together. But
yeah, but I'm not thanking you for winning a long drive competition.
Okay, well, I just thought I'd throw it out there.
I'd like to apologize to absolutely nobody. 713-780-ESPN. Texter, I remember my first time listening to the show. Texter, I've got something you can long drive. I hope it's a golf ball because I pound those things. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. I think people were overreacting, Blankers, to this ball in the corner for Jose Altuve yesterday in that two-run third inning. Runners at first and second, one out, ball rolls to the corner. Altuve sprints. He's on his horse, running with all his might. And he doesn't quite get there. Ball gets by him, rolls to the wall. I mean, he was on the warning track when the ball got by him. Eventually gets the ball after it rolls into the corner, two-run score, blah, 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 blah. I don't think a lot of left fielders get to that ball, quite frankly.
I think the most important thing to me was whether they get to it and get in front of it before it hits the wall, they probably are fielding it cleanly off the carom to get it in. I think the main thing to me was just that second run scored on that play. I thought that hit constituted, obviously, the first run on third base scoring. And then it was just all about kind of doing the due diligence and the maintenance to make sure the second one did it. I think that the combination of kind of like initially sprint, like you said, getting there but not being able to get it before it hit the wall, and then kind of bobbling it once it hit the wall, created the second runner's opportunity to score, and that's why that was my only point of contention with it.
Like, Yordan Alvarez isn't getting to that ball. Like, to your point, maybe he plays it better off the wall, and I think that was Altuve's biggest mistake, was maybe that he tried to get to it instead of it going to the wall. Because I don't think that there's many left fielders that get to that baseball. Because Altuve's pretty fast, and Altuve was busting it trying to cut it off before it got to the corner. So I don't think most left fielders are getting there. I think that ball gets to the corner anyways. Now, do left fielders who are more trained at the position kind of coast to it, play it better off the wall, a little more fluidity, and prevent that runner from scoring? Toss up, but there's still a runner at third with one out. Like, it's still an RBI situation. It's still going to be difficult to prevent that runner from scoring. So I think that the blame of Altuve and the reaction to that play is grossly overstated, because it's Altuve learning a new position, and if it was at second base and he made a mistake, we would gloss over it because he is a second baseman. So that's kind of my viewpoint of that play.
Well, and I think that here's kind of my take on that, is the fact that we knew going in, and we talked about it, set the table multiple times. Every play early in the season that comes his way is going to be scrutinized and analyzed, and it's going to be, talked about. And the fact is this guy's entire life, he's been trained to try and keep the ball in front of him, as an infielder is supposed to do, because if it gets by him, it's in the outfield. So from that standpoint, I understand that once he hightails it, his first thought is, I need to get to this ball before it gets by me. And then, like you said, as he gets more experience, you realize that most outfielders are going to go, yeah, whether I get to this thing or not, the most important thing is I can just wait for the carom, get it in quickly, avoid the second run scoring. I've done my job.
Yeah. I still don't think it's a guarantee that it prevents that run from scoring.
No, you're right.
I still don't think it's a guarantee. So, a lot of people are like, oh, it wouldn't have scored two. It could have. It very well could have. And even if you prevent it there, well, it's still a runner at third, one-out situation, which high probability that run's still going to score. So, in no way do I think Jose Altuve cost the Astros a run on that play. Maybe a potential run. Possibly I'll give you that, but I'm not going to give you a full run that he cost the Astros on that specific play. And then I would also counter it with Altuve gives up a lot of runs at second base that you never say anything about because you're conditioned to seeing him at second base. So that's kind of, yeah.
And let's also kind of think about this from the big picture perspective of everybody's already got the red ass for the fact that they aren't performing offensively. They're underperforming as a team totally. And because this is the biggest thing that everybody talked about besides Cam Smith all spring training, that combination is the perfect storm for everybody to lose their bleep in mind every time anything like this happens.
Exactly. And if he would have had a more egregious error at second base, it wouldn't be talked about as much because it's not new. It's like we've been conditioned, okay, Altuve plays second. We don't care how badly he plays second. But because it's left field and it's kind of radical thinking, oh, my goodness, did you see that? Oh, it cost the Astros 14 runs on that one specific play. Texter, we were standing at the Planet Fitness. I can't say that word. Planet Fitness. We were standing at the Planet Fitness, which is a sick brag, by the way, there, Texter. We were standing at the Planet Fitness, and Altuve was playing left towards center when the ball was hit. The base runners were trucking. You could tell right off the bat two were going to score. Good chance. Good chance that two would have scored there. 409, Josh, kind of surprised y'all didn't lead the show with Houston Rockets great Carmelo Anthony getting into the Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Carmelo. Happy for you that you reached the Hall of Fame. That's a good job Carmelo.
Was there a question that he wasn't going to get in?
No, I guess they just announced it today, though, huh?
Well, they kind of let that one out of the bag because I think that was the most obvious of the people that were up for induction. So I think I don't know what the vote was or anything like that, but I would think that that's the one that kind of just they use as kind of to shake everybody's cage. Hey, by the way, this announcement's coming up soon, and we've got Hall of Fame guys coming in.
What do you guys think of the Astros ownership not spending the money to keep Bregman and Tucker? The Astros, I believe, should have paid the money to keep them. I think they'll take a step backward. They let great hitters go for good ones.
See, this is the other thing that kind of rolls right into what I was saying about how what we were going to hear and the kind of feedback we were going to get on this team early on. As much as it's Cam Smith and it's watching Altuve, the other thing is going to be watching everything that Bregman does, that Tucker does, and then having all kinds of remorse and or comments about they should have kept him. In my mind, look, good on Kyle Tucker. He's a hell of a player. You know, he's going to get paid big time, whether it be with the Cubs or someone else at the end of this season. And he's betting on himself in his last year, and he's living up to it by doing what he's doing. From the Astros' perspective, I don't think that there's any question they knew he was going to not be an Astro after the season. And they decided to do something that I thought was intelligent, which is unlike the other guys that they've just let walk out the door at the end of their contract when it expires, they got something for him. So you hope it's a win-win. You hope what you got was enough and that the guys that you get turn out to be top-notch performers. But if you were going to lose him anyway, that was a business move you had to make. I don't regret that. Just like from the same perspective, from a business move that I think that was smart business for this team, there's no way in hell, even with all the numbers you and I were kicking around, there's no way that I think all three of us would have ever even thought for a second. $40 million, whether some of it's deferred or not, is a good deal to keep Alex Bregman for 1, 2, 3 years, whatever it is and however many years he ends up playing on that deal. So from both situations, I'm not going to ever say I regret it. I have remorse. They should have signed one, and they should have kept Tucker. The big thing to me is, again, everything's going to be blown out of proportion and be bigger because your team's not playing well.
Yeah. If the Astros were producing right now a bunch of offense, this would really be an afterthought. I'm never a believer in paying players big money whenever they're in their 30s. So I have no problem with how they handled Tucker. I wish they would have handled Bregman the same way. Like the Astros went 2-Q last year in the AL wildcard round. I wish they would have traded Bregman the previous offseason. That way you could have got some stuff for him other than a fourth-round compensation pick because you were in the luxury tax. So I have no problem with it. We all knew that Kyle Tucker's an MVP-level player. Like, it's no surprise that he's performing well. Kyle Tucker is a really good player. Now, to your point, you know how many runs the Astros have scored in 5 games this year? They've scored 9.
Yep.
You know how many runs Kyle Tucker scored all by himself this year?
10.
9. Okay. Do you know how many runs Kyle Tucker has driven in by himself this year? You know how many RBIs he has this year?
10.
11. He has more RBIs than the Astros do runs.
He does. So, Aaron Judge does.
Not great.
Everybody's just rattling off your favorite player that's off to a hot start and how his statistics are better than the team offense of the Astros.
Yeah, maybe the Astros will have a big game tonight, and you know they won't put up a goose egg in the first inning. Maybe they'll score a bunch of runs. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line, 713-780-3776. So Joe Espada, the other day he talked about the Astros being better today, like better right now than they were last season. Do you think the 25 version of the Astros is better than the 24 version? 713-780-3776. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I think Two Creeks Crossing Resort is better than any other vacation spot. I'll go ahead and stand on the table for that. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston is your escape for the weekend, or maybe the weekday. I don't care, however you do it. The hustle and bustle of the job, you're looking to get away from that. You know, there's traffic inside the loop. That's always annoying. Takes me an hour and a half to get home some days. I can't stand it. Or you're just stressed. You know, your hairs are turning gray. Well, get out for a little rest and relaxation coming up here soon. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston is the solution to all of that. Escape the city, escape the stress, escape the anxiety, and enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay right now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. Open green spaces, majestic, beautiful trees, wildlife that you can't find in the city. And if you're a fisherman or fisherwoman, how about getting out to some of the best fishing in Texas? You cannot beat that at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. It's just 90 minutes from Houston, too, so you're not wasting your valuable time off by traveling to your destination. No, it's an hour and a half away from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Spend all that time you have actually resting and relaxing instead of traveling. Hike on their 92-acre property. If you like pickleball, they have pickleball courts, kayaking, or just hang out by the pool to drink. That's fine, too. Two Creeks Crossing Resort also loves to take care of their visitors. They'll have a barbecue cook-off one weekend, a crawfish boil another weekend. You're always going to have a great time at Two Creeks Crossing. Pull up the RV. Rent one of the cabins, tree houses, or just do a little glamping. They have the perfect stay for anyone. Book your weekend escape now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The most unexpected threat is an amateur. 20th Century Studios presents The Amateur, starring Rami Malek and Lawrence Fishburne. Caller number 4 wins a $100 Visa gift card plus a pair of tickets to the advanced screening on Wednesday, April 9th, a week from today, at Regal Edwards Marquee at 7:30 p.m. The Amateur is in theaters and IMAX Friday, April 11th. So call our 4 to 713-780-3776. Brian, go ahead, Blinker.
That's a good get. It's a good prize.
Yeah, it is a good price. $100 and watch a movie, advanced screening, not bad. I'm at the old ball game here. I'm calling some U of H baseball later. I'm going to dip out by 5. Hope that's okay. So I don't know what's going on at the station. Do y'all have an intern today?
Yep.
Y'all have an intern. So, Brian, you don't have to answer the calls?
No, Ryan's here.
No, I'm about to take him.
Who wrote this little liner here?
That was sent to us by Courtney.
Courtney, okay. I don't want to bang on Courtney, but I will anyways.
Phrasing.
How about the way they spelled amateur here? MLA Paul.
I think that's the way it's spelled in the movie.
There's two different ways it's spelled in this read,
Brian. Oh, I see.
Brian, I have never met somebody more that gets more things wrong, but the conviction is so high. It's incredible. It's incredible. The conviction to wrongness ratio is out of this world with Brian.
Confidence, man. Confidence.
That's the way it's spelled in the movie. Well, there's two ways it's spelled here, Brian. There's two ways that it's spelled here.
Well, Brian's right now answering calls as your Time Life operator. He's unavailable for comment.
Yeah, I would get away from this conversation as fast as I could too.
I didn't know it was spelled two different ways in the.
I know
the text.
You didn't know.
I didn't.
I know that
far.
You didn't know. But you acted like you knew. You acted like you knew.
What'd you ask me?
Well, I mean, it's just spelled poorly. Set me up for failure here. Trying to think I'm Ron Burgundy. Trying to think I'm Charles
would
Barkley.
Would you pronounce it that much differently?
No, because I knew it was a mess up right
there
away.
You go. So
they spelled amateur A-M-E-T-E-U-R.
Yeah, that's not
correct. Where did Courtney go to school?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't want to bash any Texas university, so I'm going to bite my tongue.
Is that
on
where
this
she
one.
Went?
Did she go to Wisconsin lacrosse?
No. I know that's for sure.
I don't know.
You want me to email her to find out?
Yeah, tell her. Ask her. Yeah, ask her where she went to school.
That won't come out of left field. Hey, where'd you go to school?
Ask her where she went to school.
Okay, I'll email her.
Yeah, I want to know where she went to school. I thought it was Joe at first. That's why I was going to go all in. But I didn't realize it was Courtney. Now I feel kind of bad. Oh, well. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. Should the Astros all switch to torpedo bats? Yeah, why not? Why not?
I mean, at this point, try anything that might get better results than what they've been getting. I heard that thrown out a lot, and they were, like, looking at Rodgers and, you know, and Jake. It's like, hey, at this point, other than Altuve, you might as well let all of them try it.
Yeah. They remind me of the torpedo bats of the those jumbo youth bats that you see, like, four-year-olds have, like toddlers.
Oh, the bottle bats?
Yeah, they're like plastic, but they're massive. That's what they remind me of a little bit. I actually think the torpedo bat's success is a bit overrated. I don't think it's the torpedo bats. I think it might be Milwaukee pitching a little bit.
Yeah, but you got Dela Cruz. You got a lot of guys that are using them that have had success. But at the same time, for how long? And you know, and pitchers are smart too, and they're gonna and they can do some things too. I just hope the guy patented his whole idea so that he can cash in on it, because for a short period of time, everybody's going to want one of those things, from peewee ball, boys, girls, men, women, and there's a lot of money to be made.
Well, they've been going. This isn't new. Like, torpedo bats have been around.
Right, yeah.
I saw a college coach the other day be like, "Look what I dusted off. Here's an old torpedo bat."
It was an Easton, wasn't it?
That sounds right.
Yeah, I thought I saw someone pull out an Easton that said torpedo on it. That was from like years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't even know if it's his like patented idea. It just might be like, "Hey, I heard of this. Let's try it." You know.
So I'm just saying, you really hit the jackpot if there was a way that you were the guy that not only invented it, but, you know, was able to patent it so that you could cash in on it.
Yankees are cheaters, though. They've always been cheaters. Starting with, you know, you go back to all the PED usage that they've had there. So many people use PEDs with the Yankees. So many.
They did.
And then they started the whole sign-stealing thing. Joe Torre was on live TV talking about how they stole signs electronically. But they're the Yankees, you know, just like how the letter like got leaked and like they were able to get out ahead of it to soften the blow. You know, that's what the Yankees do. They've been cheaters forever. It's always been the case. Texture, you think the manager's on the hot seat already? I've never been a fan. Nah, maybe at the end of the year though, if they stink.
I mean, I'm not going there.
Why not?
I mean, by the end of the year, if they stink, then what?
Then he'll be on the hot seat.
I think it depends on – you can put the lineup out there, and if the guys just aren't hitting, it's tough to peg the manager. But I think that – I guess in looking at the big picture, if they do what they did last year and they're unable to dig out of it, no matter what blame you put on the lineup, you're probably – I guess you're probably right. He's probably going to be on – it might not take till the end of the season. If they completely crap the bed again to start the first couple months of the season and they're so far out of it again that no matter what they do, he's probably on the hot seat.
Yeah, and managers oftentimes are scapegoats as well. Astros are hoping that tonight's game starts at 6:05. Frommer might be losing a little bit of money.
I guess.
Eric, maybe the Astros won't start the first inning with a golden sombrero when they start at 7:05 tonight. 6:05, Eric. You're wrong about that. It's not 7:05, Eric. It's 6:05. Get it right. Giants already struck out the side. I guess the texture's calling a shot there.
I mean, you know, to be able to predict the future like that is a valuable commodity.
They're about to get swept by the Giants. It's unbelievable.
It's
We've had this in the rundown for a few days. We just haven't gotten to it. Joe Espada said that he feels like the Astros are better than they were a year ago. It doesn't help that they're down 5-0 in the second inning and about to get swept by the Giants. This might have been a better conversation for Monday. But are the Astros better than they were a year ago?
No, I don't think there's any way that you can say that, because a year ago at this time, you had Kyle Tucker in your lineup. You didn't know what was to come. You still had really good pitching. You still had, you know, Alex Bregman at third base. And there was a plenty of talent both on the pitching side and on the lineup side to say that we were hopeful and we thought that there was enough there for this team to still have success, for this team to still win the division. But I don't think there's any way that you could say from last year to this year this team is as good or better than the team a year ago.
I would have said Monday that they're better.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, last year we forget that Kyle Tucker missed half the year. So, like, that's something that you have to take into account. Their pitching at the beginning of last year was terrible. They got off to an awful, awful start last year. And a lot of the key pieces that got their season back on track a year ago are still here. And, like, you've added to that foundation as well. Like, Christian Walker, you added that. Isak Paredes, you added that. Well, you lost Bregman. Yeah, but I would take Walker, Paredes, Wesneski, over Bregman, like one singular year of Bregman. So I think that they are better. I think their pitching rotation can be better. But now that they're going to get swept by the Giants, I'm rethinking this. I think I'm waffling to the other side of this suddenly. If you would have asked me after the Mets series, I was a yes on this. But now that you're going to lose three in a row to the Giants, then I'm taking it back.
Yeah,
I'm taking it back.
I'm looking at it from the perspective of just right now, comparing the two teams at this point a year ago and this point now. I thought the Astros were a more talented team a year ago. You knew that, you know, at a certain point, Tucker was going to go down for 3 months. You knew that Bregman was a slow starter, but everybody expected, though we kept kind of biting our fingernails going, when is he going to snap out of this slow start? But overall, I thought there was more talent on the roster a year ago than this season. It's just that, you know, it's when you want to make that call as well, because if we're just going to go by the end of each year, who's going to be better? I still think it's last year's team.
Yeah. I would have said this year's version, but maybe that was me drinking the Kool-Aid. That was before I got battered. That's before I got battered by this series. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll collect your thoughts on that. Do you think the Astros are better this year or last year at this time? 713-780-3776.
You know, it's like we've talked about in the past, Jeremy, that you're going to have these hiccup series where you falter to a bad team. But right now, this early in the season, we're trying to figure out if you're going to be a bad team. And the signs were pointing that they weren't going to be. And just like last year, the signs were pointing that this was going to be another good baseball team. But right now, when you're getting hammered by the Giants, you can't score runs or get any hits, you have zero power, there's every reason to start wondering if this team is going to be a bad baseball team.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Astros, better or worse than they were a year ago? Also, what is Jordan Alvarez's potential? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, I think you've heard by now, but coming up on Friday, BMAC and I and Paulie are going to be broadcasting live from 12 to 6 at River Ranch in Dayton, Texas. And it is an unbelievable spot. It's basically the best home environment that you can think of for country living right outside the city. Close enough to Houston that if you work there or you have to go there frequently, it's within less than 45 minutes. And in a lot of places, it's even closer than that, especially if you're going to the Toyota Center or to see a baseball game or a soccer game. But the bigger thing than that is you can get out of the hustle and bustle of city life and get into a brand new community that features so many great amenities that you are going to love living there and know that you can escape from the city life and relax with a 3-car garage and a good sized house on a nice lot, with your own lagoon for you and your neighbors to use, with crystal blue water and white sand beaches, with pickleball courts right there just for you, a daycare center for the kids, a dog park for your favorite pets. It's all fantastic. It's all right within reach in Dayton, Texas. And right now, my buddy Michael Luster has combined with his builders to give you the opportunity to get in while the getting's good. Because these houses right now are priced from the 200s to the 500s. But in a couple of years, they're going to be a lot higher than that. That's why you get value. It's a return on investment. But overall, you get value every single day living in a community with all the amenities, but more of a relaxed lifestyle than the big city. Visit RiverRanchDayton.com. to check out everything that they have to offer. Visit us on Friday when we're doing the live remote, and call my buddy Michael Luster if you're interested in more information on the houses. 870-754-9164 or RiverRanchDayton.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
BVB on the YouTube says Walker equals Abreu. What do you think about that?
Walker equals Abreu? Whoa, way too early for that. Look, yeah. I will say, as much as I hate the fact that over a length of time, that, oh, he's hitting the ball hard. Well, at a certain point, it's still got to translate to hits. But in the Mets
like
series,
Dusty.
He was tagging the ball hard. Last night, he didn't look so good.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. You want exit hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like exit hits, too. Mm-hmm. Exit hits are fun. Exit runs are fun. Texture, it's only game six. Yes, I feel we are off to a worse start than last year. Hold your horses there. Last year's start was pretty brutal. But no matter how they play, I'm still going to watch them. It's baseball. How can I be romantic about baseball? That's sweet of you, Texture. I admire your love for baseball. I think I share that love. What was their start last year?
I know it got as bad as, what, 12 games? Was it 10 or 12 games under 500? And they were like,
I think they got
12 and 24 or 12 and 25?
I think the worst was, well, I don't remember the record, but 10 behind the Mariners at one point?
At least, I think.
Let's see. They were 7 games below, 10 games below, 10 and 20. They got to 14 and 25. 14 and 25 was the worst they were compared to the. Nope, they were 12 and 24.
That's
so they
I
got
thought.
To as they got to as many as 12 games under 500. So yeah, I mean that was a brutal start. Like this, even if they lose today and get swept, and you know game starts at 6:05, that would be what, a 2-4 record.
Yeah.
So that would be a win of every third game. That's actually the same start.
I mean, you luck out, hopefully, win percentage in the wise. Fact that from here you go to Minnesota and the Twins aren't playing good baseball and they're going through a lot of the same kind of woes with their offense. But you got to get right sooner rather than later because you can't, like I said, you can't afford to do what you did last year and expect that you can do what you did last year again and dig out of it.
At least the manager wants everybody to like him and is willing to do social media videos in the clubhouse and do in-game interviews. At least that's what happens, though.
That's a you know? Tough spot. From the, at a certain point, sometimes when you're the home team network that's half owned by the team, you make a business decision there and go, probably not today, probably not now.
Yeah, I think Espada cares more about being liked than he cares about being a hardo.
Okay.
I'm being serious.
Well, like, I know, but I'm also being serious. Like at a certain point when you control the network as well and the telecast, you go, you know what, probably not a good one for us to do today.
No, we're both right. I agree with you. I'm with you. I hear you on that. But I think Espada cares a lot about perception and how he's viewed. I think that's a bad place for your mindset to be whenever your job is a manager or head coach where the primary thing is winning. And I'm not saying Espada's primary thing isn't winning.
Right.
But if you want perception and how you're viewed to be pretty high on your list, I don't love that from a head coach or manager.
No, I think that a lot of the situation based on resume matters too. I think this if this was an experienced manager and this is a guy that had skins on the walls, I think it would be different. But because of the fact that he's still in a lot of ways trying to prove himself and more so this year than ever because of a lot of the guys that were kind of insulating him to some degree last year are gone, that – you know, he's playing it probably as best he can to try and be in good favor with everyone, and that's a tough battle to win. Sometimes you just got to be, like you said, more of a hard-o and say, hey, look, I know that from the organization and marketing and everything else and from my maybe probably inside my own self, I want everybody to like me. All I can do right now is worry about, you know, my job.
Way too early to panic, but dang, it feels bad and painful to watch. Aaron in Mid-County says 4-19 at one point. Aaron in Mid-County, you just made the list. They were not 4-19 at one point last year. I'm looking at the game by game.
You just made the list.
Yeah, the most losses that they had with 4 wins was 4-11. And then they won a game against Texas to improve to 5-11. The fewest wins that they had when they had 19 losses was 7. So 7-19, 4-11. They were never 4-19. You're misremembering like Clemens misremembered something.
That puts you in Back County, not Mid County.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. I give that one a 7-2. That was pretty good. It's only game six. Oh, we already read that one. Thinking the lineup was better than last year with Chaz Myers and Dubon still in this team, you've got to be insane. Well, Chaz and Myers were both everyday outfielders last year. Like, what are you talking about? Chaz and Myers were everyday outfielders last year. Right now, Chaz and Myers are splitting time in center field, and Dubon's not even playing. So, like, Dubon got a lot of run last year, too. So, it's kind of similar. Like, those guys are still getting a lot of reps here.
Yeah, it's just, you know, from my perspective, too, I thought, well, there's plenty of options, both from the pitching side and potentially on the outfield side, especially when you're going to elevate DeCenzo and Smith. But right now I'm looking at it going, I'm not sure that the options are as great as I thought they were.
I do find it funny how quickly Astro fans give up on the Astros.
Yeah.
Like, you go back from the, you know, the Fred Fowler tombstone on the Astros season, and then they go to the – I think they went to the World Series that year. I think it was in 05, wasn't it, when he did that?
They made the playoffs for sure. I don't know if they made it all the way to the World Series. But, yeah, that was a good run for them. That was the Cardinals series in the playoffs, I think.
Brian, did you say correct over the air or just in my ear? Oh, he said it just to me. I'm having a tough time trusting you, Brian.
That's the way B-Mac makes me do things.
I don't know, though, because, like, I feel like that was a little bit of shade there, B-Mac. But, Brian, I mean, you're the boy who cries wolf now. You're Jose Altuve. You say some things. I don't know if I can believe
them. I'm a Hall of Famer? I'll take
that. Altuve's not a Hall of Famer.
Well, then you're on with Booker T, right?
Future Hall of Famer.
If you're a Hall of Famer, you're on with Booker T and Brad.
I'm just saying, Altuve exaggerates. He says some things that don't materialize, and you're kind of the Altuve that cries wolf to me a little bit. But last year, remember they gave up on the Astros last year. They're giving up on the Astros now. Astro fans are quick to jump off the ship, I feel. Some of them. Not all of them. Some of them. Key from L.A., it's not even real baseball season yet. Right now it's basketball time in Houston. It is kind of
true.
Interesting. There hasn't been many years in recent memory where early April has been basketball time in Houston.
And it's double barrel basketball time in Houston. So that's again, something when both teams are having success at the same time. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a very, very thick baseball town for a while now. And this is a little bit of a shock to the system for a lot of folks based on the reactions we're getting.
Because if you're playing college basketball, you have to be in the Final Four in April. That's only happened one other time in recent memory, and then the Rockets weren't good. If you take away the college basketball aspect of it, when have we been saying it's basketball season in April and not baseball season? Like, you'd have to go back to the Harden days. And even the Harden days were some of the Astro Golden Era days, though.
Yeah, that's the last good run of the Rockets was
2014?
Harden. Yeah. 14 to 16, because 16 they made the Western Conference Finals, got beat by the Warriors.
Yeah, but the Astros had started to play well by that point, so I don't know if he would just rush. You know,
not in 14. And like they were
but Joel had said 14 through 16. So by the end, what I'm saying is through the end of that, I don't know if we would have said that.
But even 15 was kind of like, oh, okay, we didn't know that the Astros were going to be good.
Yeah.
So maybe 2015 was the last time that it was basketball season in Houston in April.
Well, but even
that's probably right?
Because 2015? The early start of the season in baseball, no one's still that jacked about after opening day.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true.
If your team's in the Western Conference Finals in basketball, I think it's your main focus, even if you know you got a great baseball team.
Sure, but like since 2015, the Rockets the Rockets have been not bad all those years, but most of those years, the Astros Golden Era started. A lot of people would say 2017 is when the Golden Era started. I don't mind going back to 2015. And in the golden era of Astro baseball, everybody's jacked up for Astro baseball at any point of the year. Once the season starts, everybody's jacked up.
Yeah, I would push back. I think that once that opening game and that opening series is over, they're still excited about what the long haul is going to bring. But if your team is having success in the playoffs when it matters most, they're still focused mainly on basketball. Because even after that Dwight Howard Harden run to the Western Conference Finals, you had the 27 missed threes with the Chris Paul year where everybody was pretty dialed into the Rockets until they lost that last game.
I'm not saying that they would be more dialed into the Astros than the Rockets. But whenever baseball opening day comes around in Houston in this golden era, fans are jacked up.
Right, but that's what I said. Opening day, there's no question. And then after that, kids are still in school. It's early in the season. You know how Houston is, and the weekday games aren't that important.
But that's not. We're talking attendance or locked in. Those are different things.
But I don't think that they're that locked in early in the season, because the expectation is it's early. It doesn't matter because they're going to be there in the end because they got a really good team and the Rockets are in the playoffs.
How much do we talk Astros right now versus Rockets?
Well, it's a different – I mean, I think it's different. And I think the main thing, the reason why it's different from the two teams that I mentioned are there's a lot of star power on the two teams that did what they were doing, as opposed to we're hoping that they have success because this is the first – this is like the initial liftoff, if you will, of – this team and what it can do over time. But there's no Chris Paul and James Harden and Dwight Howard and the kind of star power that comes with it to where there's a lot of legitimacy to a team that could win it all.
When was the Rockets last run in the playoffs?
The Chris Paul Harden run was either 17 or 18, I think.
Okay, so let's go. Let's just say it's 18.
Okay.
So you don't think in April 2018, when the Astros had Carlos Correa, Justin Verlander, Jose Altuve, and Alex Bregman, that fans weren't locked into Astro baseball in April?
Not night in, night out.
I completely disagree.
If that was the year that they were making the run to the Western Conference Finals with a chance to win it all until Chris Paul got hurt, I think that they weren't. I don't think they were locked in. I think that they paid attention. I think that they were excited, but I think that their main focus was the Rockets.
Yeah, we'll have to agree to disagree on this one, because I think coming off the World Series and you have all those lovable fan favorites that were superstars, I think they were dialed in. Plus, I believe that baseball is more popular in the city than pro basketball. I think it's pretty substantial.
Yeah, I think that there were times when that might not be true, but I can't argue with that right now and for the last couple of years.
Oh, I would even go back to 18, but we can't do that. Why can't they hit it home? They painted the batter's eye darker, too. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just stink. We've been contenders for so long that maybe we're just now an above-average team we're not used to. Maybe. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's only game, like the texture said, it's game six. Who do you like in the Cougs versus Duke game? I just hope both teams have a lot of fun. I hope they have a great time in San Antonio on Saturday.
I'm riding with the Cougs. I just have a feeling that the defense is going to step up and be what it's been all year. And I think that they're going to catch Duke and the experience is going to matter for the Cougs. So I'm taking the Cougs.
713-780-ESPN. Texter giving up this soon on the Astros this week. Are you giving up on the Astros? Five games into the year, they'll play their sixth game of the season tonight at 6:05. 713-780-3776. What's Jordan Alvarez's potential, and do you think he'll live up to his potential? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.